The Loose Goose.
So welcome along once again to the Loose Goose Radio Show. We are joined on the show today from Germany via Skype by Adrian Holder of The Moment. Hello, Adrian.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you doing? Good to speak to you. The sound quality is obviously a bit Skypey, but we can live with this. Plenty of good stuff coming up. And Peter, as you probably know by now, Adrian, is a person who avidly collects music memorabilia. And he's going to take you into a journey through your life, I would say, around about now. So I'll hand you over to Peter. Peter's coming your way now.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Peter.
In fact, I've brought half my record collection in today because right in front of myself and Steve is the old school vinyl where we can find that opening track there, One, Two, They Fly, by your band, The Moment. I've got the original limited edition coloured vinyl of The Moment, The Work Gets Done, your debut album of, I think it was 1985. And One, Two, They Fly opens side two. But I'm also holding we need sunglasses here in the studio. The bright yellow sleeved 7-inch version of One, Two, They Fly. Proudly states on the back that it was produced by Ed Ball and Paul Beauvoir. Do you want to just mention, perhaps, the differences between the two versions of this song, or the two formats, Adrian?
It's quite a twisted story, really. The single was originally recorded for a record label to release as a single, as a follow-up to our first single, but we were we had become slightly uncomfortable with our relationship with that label during that process. So the recording itself, which was a bit of a disaster, sort of went to the label. We decided that we would like to part company with the label and record our album on a different label. So the nastiness was dealt with. And while we were recording, the single was released. And on a visit to a sandwich shop and a record store, our manager at the time found it on sale and brought it down to the recording studio and showed us what happened, to our horror. So we thought, okay, in that case, we'll put it on the album as well, because it will give people a reason not to have to go and buy that single, because we had no, we'd severed our connection with the label and didn't want to support the label anymore. Mm-hmm. So we thought, we didn't try and cheat people by adding it to the label to make them buy it twice. We put it on, in our thinking, was to put it on to make, give people an opportunity to not have to buy it on the 7-inch vinyl format on that particular record label.
And I was just going to say, I mean, we, you know, not necessarily to name names, but we are talking about you move from Diamond Records to Rave Records. I think the work that's done came out on. You weren't happy with the sleeve of the 7-inch version either, were you?
No, I actually spent a weekend working with Paul Beauvoir on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come up with our design, and off I went back to my home. The design was sent off to the label, who rejected it. They didn't like it, and went ahead with their own design.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it, which kind of amused me. I used to call it the Shopper's Paradise sleeve. I don't imagine you're familiar with Shopper's Paradise, but in my hometown at the time, it was a budget supermarket where their home brands were all dressed with this luminous yellow packaging. And it kind of looked like it came from Shopper's Paradise, which wasn't a compliment.
So, to say the least. So now you're in more control of your musical output. You wanted to say a little bit more about your current label? Very shortly, we'll be going into one of your comeback single as it were, Goodbye Tuesday, in a particular version. Do you want to say a little bit about your record label and how, after your first incarnation of the moment, how, you know, your music came back, as it were?
Well, yeah, I'll try and keep it as brief as I can. It's quite a long story. I disappeared from the music scene for some time and ended up living in Germany. Life became slightly more bearable for me, and I started to record music again just for my own pleasure. And out of the blue, I was contacted by a label called Biff Bang Pow, I think, and asked if I'd like to contribute a track to a compilation they were doing. There was a bit of time in between then and now. But during that time, the band released a couple of songs in different formats on different labels. Again, rather frustrating for me to do work and not to be able to control it the way that I'd like to, but also not to reap any rewards. No financial reward came back to speak of, partly the nature of the band that we're in and the audience that we have. But in the end, through twists of fate and all sorts of weird meetings, I decided that it was probably best if we did it ourselves, mm-hmm. if I set up my own record label. That way, I'd have no one to complain about. It'd have to be me that was in trouble if it went wrong. But more importantly, the finances I could control directly, which meant that if something did sell, I would be able to release something else because the money would come back to me rather than go to another record label. It's a little bit risky, considering it around that time I'd left my job, I'd left my employment and was without a wage. So I couldn't finance it myself. So I had to think of a clever way of trying to do it. And at the time, it was suggested that we did it a crowdfunding project. In fact, Buddy Ascot, our drummer, suggested that. So having tried to get on to, which is quite topical now perhaps, I tried to get on a few UK-based crowdfunding sites, but came up against an obstacle, which was that I wasn't actually in the UK. I was contacting them via mainland Europe.
Okay.
And for that reason, they were unable to help us, really. Trying to do it here, my German is very limited, particularly my written German. So doing it here was really not an option. I did try one and found their attitude towards me wasn't very positive. So in the end, I just went on social media and kind of pitched the idea to my friends on Facebook. And wonderfully, they came back, I think we talked about this before, with the money that we needed to release the album. So our first release on Infenso Records came out last summer, and it sold quite well. In fact, it exceeded our expectation. It didn't make us rich, but it certainly paid back the money that we'd invested in it, which meant that we were in a rather nice position in that we were able to record and release another product, if you like, from the moment, which is due out on the 1st of August.
That's the Know It All CD EP, can we call it that?
You can call it an EP. I keep calling it a single. but it was intended to be a single. Originally, the original idea was for it to be on vinyl, an A and a B side. But when I started looking to the reproduction costs of vinyl, I realised that it was beyond our reach for the units that we were likely to sell. So I had to make a tough decision, much as we'd love to have had it on vinyl. And that was our original idea. And the finances just meant that I would end up blowing the budget and losing it completely. And what I hope to do is for this to sell and for us to get our money back, so that we can do another recording and keep playing with the label. So in the end, it's come out on CD. Goodbye Tuesday is a song that I wrote on turning 40, mm-hmm. as about a man who was saying goodbye to his past and looking towards his future.
Well, I know that it's been a while, but this time I've changed, you can really see me smile. It's like a mystery, but not rocket science, so it's far as the eye.
Goodbye Tuesday from the moment. It's the Loose Goose radio show, and we have Adrian Holder, I hope, still with us. Well, I think we can see you on the screen. Just to set the scene there, Adrian, for the audience. We can see you. You can't hear us. You're in Germany. We're not. We're using some technology called Skype. The sound's a bit weird, but sort of works. But what we're going to try and do is lead you through these songs. Peter will give you a whole bunch of nuggets, and then we'll give you the chance to do a snappy intro. How does that sound?
Sounds like hell. I'll do my best.
Okay, we'll have a go.
Musical hell here. Beats musical chairs, anyway. Adrian, that was Goodbye Tuesday. You mentioned earlier the version of it, the solo version, the Adrian Holder version that was first released on Shimmy, the Biff Bang Pow compilation. But that version we just heard was, you sent it to us earlier, was called, it's a Ben version, number 3. Do you want to just quickly mention which Ben we're talking about there?
Yeah, that was Ben Addison from Corduroy. Happens to be living not far from where I live here in Germany. I was contacted by someone in England and asked if we'd like to play a scooter rally a few years ago now, I think 2009. I telephoned Ben and said, we're short of a drummer. Do you know anybody who'd do it? He said, yes. And to cut a long story short, he heard the song during the rehearsals for that gig, liked it a lot, and said we should record it with him. And that's what we did.
Oh, fantastic. The original version, as we've already made explicit, came out on Shimmy. But on the back of that original version, the Adrian Holder version, you then went on to record an album entitled Whistleblower, and we're about to play Like You from it. Just a few words on that, Adrian, if you wouldn't mind.
Right, this is where you have to pause. I haven't played Whistleblower for so many years. Which song is Like You?
I tell you what, do you want to talk about it after we play it?
That would be excellent, because then I'll know what song it is.
All right, here it comes.
I think it's a song that I wrote, actually. I wrote a song for my wife on honeymoon, and I think this is the song I wrote.
Okay, here it is. There's a song called Like You. I must confess, it's the first time I've heard it, but I think, Adrian, you know that song well now, don't you?
Oh, yes, I remember it very well now. Hey. A couple of things I'd say about it. That song was recorded in a shed at the bottom of my garden.
Yep.
With the first version of Pro Tools that I'd managed to get hold of on a very old G3 Apple Mac computer that somehow I managed to get to work that had less memory than is probably in your mobile phone.
Right.
But yeah, it was good fun doing it. I remember the tune. It was a song that I'd written again. I'm in the chorus, I'm singing a bit to myself there. I don't want to be like you. I'm talking to myself. I had a new life and was about to have a new wife. And I'd been inspired by her to write. And that's where that tune came from.
That's nice.
And talking about the sort of inspiration for that song, I think that very person is mentioned. Indeed, the entire song is dedicated to that person with this particular live track, Aspidistra.
This next song goes out to a very, very good friend of mine, Alex. This is taken from the good book, Keep the Aspidistra Flying. And Gordon loves Rosemary. This is called Aspidistra. Sweeps over the bed and pop the newly bear. And as the dark ribbons our chimneys reared and wood, flicker fire whips on the bed. Tom Post does flatter coldly sound the boom of tram, the battle of booms. The cuckoo hurries to the station, looking down over Istanbul. Tickets, insurance code, Skibby's wages, and the next installment on the new twin bed, the one from Dages, in our kids, summer days, goes up, as you up, we own, repenting now as winds blow cold, the new before. Thoughts our dreams, our secret ways. Picks our words and cuts our clothes. Maps the pattern of our day. Chills our anger, curves our hope. Bars our lies and plays with toys. Takes your tribute, open faith. Accepted insults, murder joy. Who buys a chain of power twists?
It's the Loose Goose Radio Show, the moment with Aspidistra live. Talking about live, you're going to be live in this neck of the woods very soon, Adrian, aren't you?
Yes, very soon, in fact. On the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of July, we're playing near Cardiff, then Boston, and then in London.
Without going into detail, the Cardiff gig became more rock and roll than you would have liked, didn't it, really?
Without going into detail, there were a few last minute hiccups that hopefully we've ironed out, and things should go smoothly from here on in. Let's hope.
I mean, being as my kind of home area, I hope it's a fantastic gig for you anyway.
And Peter, thank you very much. I hope so too.
Peter be there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've already. I think
I'm out the country.
Yeah, yeah, yes, you're out of the country, yeah. But I'll be there, and I think the setup is you sort of buy the ticket online and you pick up your ticket at the door on the night, which is all very rock and roll in itself, really. Adrian, we just had Aspidistra. It's from the Mod Gods CD, Best of the Moment. That was, I always sort of mix this up, that was live at the Cafe Vienna in Germany, not the Cafe Germany in Vienna. Have I got the order right there, in 1988?
Yeah, that's correct. It's in Mannheim, in fact.
Ah, okay, okay.
On a very hot night. I think we were doing actually a longest tour. It was a 3-week tour of Europe, and that was our visit to Mannheim on that occasion.
Excellent, excellent. And that there is an entire gig is in the vault somewhere.
I believe so. I have heard the tape. The entire gig was recorded, but I don't have possession of it. That's not very much I can do with it. It's around somewhere.
Can I ask you a quick one there, Adrian? When you're playing a live gig and you know it's being recorded, is that on your mind at all? Is it sort of in your mindset that it's being recorded live and you've got to capture it?
And that's a very good question. At that time, absolutely not. We were the kind of band, I was certainly the kind of performer that got lost in the moment. So as soon as I walked on stage, it was me and a guitar against the world. So I wouldn't have been aware of it being recorded, and I wouldn't have. And I'm sure if you heard the tape, you'll hear what was said in between songs and the amount of colourful language.
Yes,
suggests that we weren't aware or cared whether it was being recorded or not.
And for
the
better
for it, it got recorded through the mixing desk in a live situation. I don't even know if we were told, to be honest, that it was going to happen. I suspect we were asked, and whether or not I was aware of it, I don't know. But we were furnished with a copy at the end of the gig. So, yeah, but I don't, I certainly wouldn't have, I'd have been more nervous about other things rather than the quality of the recording at the time, that's for sure.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Bed. Now I just can't get you out of my head. Come on, girl, you
Minor Emergency from the moment. Adrian, out of interest, can you can hear the tracks playing when you're out there, can you?
I heard that one, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. We just wondered, we were just kind of in the dark while it was going off. How many of the songs are we playing are in the current set, by the way? Are you still playing some of the stuff, or is it all new?
Of the ones that you've got there, there's three.
Okay. You playing that one live?
No, we did last time out, and actually, I don't know where you got that version from.
Peter will be the man.
I suspect it might be one that I sent to Peter over the internet to hear, because that's never been heard before.
All right.
That's the song rewritten and sung by Ben.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
That's not me.
Okay.
Our version that we released was different from that. Well, yes, lyrically it was different from that, and obviously the vocalist was different, but that's I've forgotten about that.
You'd have to sing it live though, wouldn't you?
I sung it in the original recording. I sang a version which came out I think on Plastic Pop on a four track single little EP thing.
It just sounded like it would make a really great live track, I think.
And we did, we played it live. It's the backstory is a bit strange, because it was an experiment in soul, northern soul type music, to see if we could pull it off or not. Obviously, when we played live, it was very different, because we only had guitar, bass, and drums to play with. So we had to do a slightly more rock and roll version, which is how it turned out. And in fact, we continued to play. We played it with Buddy, I think, in 2013. We played our first gig with Buddy was at the Borderline, I think, in London, and we played it there for the first time, but not this time.
And I mean, you mentioned Buddy there, of course. I mean, that's Brett Buddy Ascott, formerly of the Chords, the sort of 1979 era band, the Chords, mod band, the Chords. Adrian, you mentioned their songs that you're playing live, currently not playing live. One song of yours, which I'm probably guessing here hasn't had a lot of airplay, is where you were a guest on Tony Face Big Roll Band album Old Soul Rebel from 2009. Harley Gnarly, we're about to hear it. Just a few words with regards to that little known, little heard song.
Again, it was a tune that I had hanging around, and I only had a quick demo of me on the guitar and singing it. There was nothing else with it. It was just one guitar track, I believe, and one vocal. And Tony made a request, said, have you got anything you can send me for an album? And I said, I've got this, I'll send it over. What do you think? And I believe literally his band played along with it, and it came out on his album.
Most of all your life.
It's the Loose Goose Radio Show, and the first thing I've got to ask you, Adrian, what does Harley Gnarly mean?
I was just enjoying the other plesiosaurus and I like to eat. Oh, that was the best line of the song. Harley Gnarly is someone who's crazy.
Okay.
You've got to be crazy to be Harley Gnarly. I'm not a big fan of large American motorbikes. And the people that ride them are a little bit frightening to me. And here in Germany, when men reach a certain age, they do one or two predictable things, and one of them is buy a Harley.
Yeah. Okay, we get that.
And at weekends, they ride them around in the summer and have great fun with them. But an interesting pastime.
And you mentioned the sort of craziness there. The next track, which is from your The Moment's second long player, The Only Truth Is Music, Captain Insanity. Who's going bonkers there, Adrian?
Peter, I think you've asked me this before. How can I answer this? I'm going bonkers. I wrote the song at a time where things were really up in the air in my life, and I did wonder if I was mad or was it the rest of the world. I've since realised, of course, it is the rest of the world that's crazy, and I'm perfectly sane, but I am the Captain Insanity.
Insanity, based on Adrian Holder, according to Adrian Holder, which is a nice confession there, Adrian.
Well, writers, we're told that we should write about something we know about. I don't know an awful lot about much, but I probably know a little bit about me, so it's a good subject to write about.
Talking of it, just a brief one, because Peter's got a few questions to kind of close off today. What's it, you know, when you're listening back to your stuff, from some of this probably you haven't heard from a while, is it sort of bringing back recollections for you? Is anything, is it all good stuff to hear again?
Very interesting question. And the emotions are mixed. Now, I don't tend to listen back very much. And hearing these songs has taken me back a few years. And when you hear something for the first time in a while, it does take you back to when you wrote it and why you wrote it and how you were feeling at the time. So it's quite an interesting memory lane journey.
And not always in a good way, maybe.
No, not always in a good way. Life isn't always good for us. And but something positive has come out of that time for me, and hopefully will for other people too. And when you're going through a rough patch, don't worry, it will get better.
Yeah, good advice.
And indeed, Adrian, not to sort of dwell on the past and sort of bringing everything bang up to date. Just to remind our listeners, you've got 3 live dates coming up. The first one at Taff's Well Exes. And can we safely assume that you have copies of not only The Only Truth Is Music, your Infenso released LP of a year or so ago, but you'll have copies of the Know It All. I'll keep on referring to it as a CD EP. You can refer to it as a single, quite rightly. Will you have copies to sort of people to sort of get their hands on, signed copies perhaps, and so on?
Amazingly, if you were to hang around the Infenso office, you'd think that nothing ever happened and we're incapable of meeting any deadline. But on this occasion, we have. And the CD arrived a few days ago, and it will be available, unless I forget to pack it. Available at the gigs, and of course very happy to sign a copy for anybody who asks.
And it's 4 tracks there with a very, very 4 tracks, and we're about to hear Nobody Knows Yet, but it's got a very striking sleeve. Do you just want to say a little bit about the sleeve and the sort of who put the actual design together?
A big shout out actually for John from Modern Toss. I don't know if your listeners are aware of Modern Toss. I imagine some of them are. Kind of anarchic, a little bit risky cartoon series of characters and comic strips. And there's one that's called Peanut. And Peanut is basically a mod supergroup that I've been told by a reliable source is based upon the moment. So we have a connection with John at Modern Toss, and we approached him and asked if he would consider doing something for us, and he said yes. And what you see is a variation on the sleeve of a cartoon series that originally came out in Germany, actually, in Berlin, called FBI, I believe. And we went with John's idea, and there you have it. That's the sleeve.
Excellent. And we're not going to mention the inner sleeve notes at all, are we, Adrian, at all?
Well, an extremely... talented, gifted writer, a man of great taste, was approached to write the sleeve notes, and he agreed too. We were very lucky indeed.
But he couldn't do it, so Peter did, yeah?
You were waiting for that, Stephen, weren't you? You were waiting for that. You've put the knife in and you've twisted it.
Yeah. Listen, Adrian, thanks a million for doing this today. I hope your tour goes well, but in particular, being a Cardiff lad, I really hope Taff's Well goes great for you. I warn you, there'll be a few heavy drinking compadres of mine probably will be around. There'll be a few characters in the audience, but I hope it's a great night for you.
Thank you very much. I hope so too, and thank you for inviting me onto the show again. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you're very
thanks,
welcome.
Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian. Good luck. We'll see you soon, yeah?
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Thank you.